Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I love these where, like, you only get the handout if you, like, get there right away. The bandits, you have to get, you know, 10,000. The math you do in your head about what the, like, the quality of the prize versus what does it mean for me? Like, do I have to leave half an hour? Or what do I have to do
right
to be one of the first 10,000 people to get a towel?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to sell the game out, right? So just, I don't know, get like 8,000 more towels, I think, maybe. Easy for me to say. I don't know how much these towels cost, but I'm guessing
it's
not.
Oh, I bet a lot. To make?
Not a lot.
I bet a lot to make.
Yeah.
The Bandits thing is super cool. It's maybe bigger than ever. I mean, the Bandits and the Sabres have left such a void.
Yeah.
The Bandits, you know, great that they've, if you will, filled it with, you know, their winning. They've won the last two championships and they're going for a third. The way it works, by the way, in this series, it's a three-game series, best of three. So they'll play home tomorrow night, then they go to Vancouver for the second game, and then they'll come back next weekend for
a tiebreaker.
Yeah, I think
next Friday night or Saturday night. The 10th is the date I have in my mind, so that might be...
If needed.
Yeah, if needed.
So Saturday morning, my son had a lacrosse game in West Seneca, I guess that is. So he and I are driving from Grand Island to West Seneca Saturday morning. And I passed three billboards with the Bandits, with Dane Smith and Josh Byrne on it. Three different billboards. One was for, I think, maybe insurance. One was
okay,
for...
Okay, not promoting the Bandits, but like...
Not promoting the game.
Like, right, they're spokespeople
using
for businesses.
Them,
yeah, awesome.
Using them, maybe in uniform, three different times. One might have been for the game, but there were no Sabres anything.
Yeah.
And there probably are... Is it Darlene? Is it Thompson? Is it someone else? There probably are some commercials or... what. Is there anything, actually, with any Sabres player?
I don't know.
Alex Tuch?
Tuch I've seen in, like, a Sabres thing with... There's some partner of theirs that Tuch is in a commercial for that was airing during the games. I'm almost sure of it. Because there's also, you know, stuff that they do themselves promotionally, you know, with the mascot and whatever. But I think he's in an ad, Tuch. I don't know about anybody else at this point. Honestly, nothing comes to mind. They might be out there, but I haven't seen it as far as I know. But Tuch, I'm pretty sure, has something in that respect. But that's awesome for those Bandits guys. I was very adamant last year around this time that I was going to make that happen, and my schedule has gotten away from me here as the season has ended and the playoffs have begun, and I'm out of town this weekend. If they make it to, like, if there is a game three in this series with Vancouver, then that's a possibility. And then, of course, they keep going, then there will be further opportunities. But I have not followed through on getting to a game. I've got a jersey and everything.
You do have a jersey.
I'm prepared to wear it, even though it's got three numbers on the back.
And you're like a training camp
participant. And it says Bulldog on it, but whatever. I'm gonna rock that.
The jersey they give you at like these lacrosse clinics when there are more than 100 kids.
Right.
You're number 284.
Right.
Or you're number 550 in this case, and so am I, by the way.
Right.
There's two 550s on this team. I don't want to be so dramatic. I hate instant replay. And so do you. On Friday night in their win over San Diego, there was one of the most like closest call instant replay moments that you'll ever see, where they scored a goal right at halftime and they're showing an overhead camera. It's on the TV broadcast with the clock in the corner and it's like 0.2 and the player is releasing the shot. It's one of these plays where he's diving from behind the net dunk it over the goalie's shoulder.
I love that play. Early in the year, I watched a couple of games at a bar that I hang out at, and they had them on. One of them was a road game. They were streaming somehow, which was awesome. And I saw players make that play. And I'm like, I've never seen that. I haven't watched enough of this. I've never seen that. That's awesome.
So he's releasing the ball at like 0.2 or even 0.3, whatever, and you sort of don't see it, and the replaying it so slowly that the clock, you can see the number changing from 0.2 to 0.1. Like it's just not like click. It's sort of gradual.
Yeah.
And then so it's 0.1, and then there appears the ball right over the goalie's, right behind his head, in the net, right over his back. The full ball, barely, you can barely see it, but it's in. And it's like the 0.1, but the 0 is starting to form.
Yeah, right. Wow.
So it's not quite to 0. It's less than 0.1. And wow. They counted the goal.
That seems pretty tight.
To make it 5-2, and they won the game 5-4.
Wow. What a I did see the score. It was a very low scoring.
San Diego game. Scored its final goal with 1 second left. They might have even reviewed that, too. It was sort of funny that, that's a tough loss.
Well, if Bandits fans are out there wanting the sport to grow even to the point where it's just getting more and more notoriety, having a flawed, controversial replay system is a great way to go. Because nothing gets the clicks like a flawed nothing gets my attention like a terrible replay system.
Bad calls are the
I'm
best.
I'm mostly kidding. It seems like they're doing great without that. So no worries.
That is a thing, though, about not replay, but just like sports in general. Part of the replay, I don't know, maybe this is, you would say going too far, but I've always thought this about replay. The main problem with it for me in sports is the seasons are so long. Football is shorter, but still, like the seasons are so long that if I even lose a game on a call that looks like it was a mistake, I should be able to live with that. What about the playoffs? The 162 baseball games, and I'm reviewing, in spring training, I could challenge pitches, and there's challenges, on the bases and everything else. And most of these calls, of course, do not determine who wins the game. You get bad calls that even out. It's such a waste of time for me. Soccer is driving me crazy now with the VAR. There was a goal yesterday that was taken down Arsenal against PSG for 1-1. And the offside, it's just like it's a sliver of the guy's shoe or something.
Right.
Can't have a goal there. So I don't have to be told like how high the stakes are and everything like this, but the vast majority of these replay reviews are of plays that really it doesn't matter.
It's just a waste of time.
Yeah. It's just a waste of time. So the vast majority, not all. So, that's like a big part of it. And then, the times where you really can't tell.
Right.
I started to say, and then I went another direction. The bad calls, think about like our show over the years and how much the officiating becomes a story in a close game where why wasn't this holding? Why wasn't this pass interference? Why wasn't this challenged? All that kind of stuff. You want to appreciate like how much of the energy about the game that represents. I mean, it's they keep trying to make it perfect, and I don't think you want it to be perfect.
Right.
You can't make it perfect anyway.
Right.
But that effort just seems so unnecessary. And now, of course, you know, this is also going too far, but you're at that soccer game, and you can't even really cheer when a goal is scored because you have to wait.
Right.
So you just you cheer because you sort of like a reaction, but like, wait a minute, I don't know.
Yeah, that has been, you know, the thing, especially in football. But it's in all the sports now, it only takes, you know, when did they start with this replay stuff in the NHL with the offsides challenge? 10 years ago now,
during Murray.
Okay,
so a while about that.
Right? It definitely didn't take from then until now for this to happen, what I'm about to say. But yeah, the same thing happens now and all the time. It's just there. Like, I don't even think about it anymore. I just go, oh, was there an offsides before that? In my head, my reaction to a team scoring a potential series clinching goal in the playoffs is, oh, is it going to be, I don't remember when the puck came in. Is there going to be a review? And that's the worst. This is not a place. This started with football, really. It's been there with football for a long time before replay with penalty flags, you know. And now that they, you know, oh, but there's a flag down. And now you're looking at the part of the screen during a football game for where you know the little yellow insignia is going to show up. You know, you're waiting. Like, oh, I don't see it yet. I don't see it. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Right? It just takes so much out of the joy. And there's no getting it back. Once you have grown accustomed to going, oh, I hope that stands as your reaction to any good play for any team, for any game you're watching, you've lost the battle. You've lost the fight. It's over. You've succumbed to replay. You're at the mercy of it. And I despise that so much. It just takes so much of the you know, and it doesn't happen all the time. But there is still, there's a moment there where you have to be, you're waiting to hear, you know, oh, the coaches are huddling here. They're looking at something. I think, well it might be offside. Oh, my God. It's just so bad.
Something that I've never, you watch a lot more hockey than I do, but I'm when it happens, I kind of root for this. When I'm watching a game live and think that maybe a play should have been called offside, I so want there to be a goal to see if I was right. But never has it happened on any of these plays the goal has actually been scored. So we find out.
Right.
Like, that looked offside to me. And then, you know, it plays out and the puck is just dumped out of the zone. Like, oh, we'll never know. That's just never going to be a thing.
Right.
At least they don't challenge offsides on non-scoring plays.
Right.
Can you imagine if you got to that point?
Got to get that neutral zone draw. I'm dominating in the circle, so I want to stop play.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Yes. And try to get the puck back. Ugh, yeah, it's so bad. And the, you know, the rules analysis guy or gal, I haven't seen it be a woman in any of these examples across all these different sports we talk about, but the NHL, it's ESPN, it's Dave Jackson, and he just never has it. I mean, just never has it. It's such, I early in the playoffs, they went to him for something, and it's just, he cannot spit it out. He it seems like he doesn't know what to say. He doesn't want to question the officials. He's very tough. You'd be better off just putting a screen up like technical difficulties rather than having this guy try to explain to you what is happening or what the outcome of this is going to be. Just give me please stand by, and like elevator music.
Wow.
All right. It's just so pointless. Really tough.
That's the worst. That's the meanest criticism I've ever heard from an announcer.
Sorry. I mean, I'm not.
You're better off just muting him.
Dead air.
And just going dark.
Yes. Dead air.
It's so bad.
It's terrible. Oh, the hockey playoffs have been very tough from a television standpoint.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's this element. TBS has got Leafs Senators tonight, and I don't know if this has changed since it became widely known, and maybe it was widely known and just radios the Bulldog didn't know about it, but it came to my attention, I think, last weekend, first weekend of the playoffs, whenever TBS and TNT had their first games, because for the first few days, it was all ESPN and ESPN2, but then once TNT and TBS got going, it became known that they are not sending their announcing crews to Canada. So they had an overtime winner for Draisaitl in the Edmonton-LA series with the announcers in a studio somewhere in the United States. I don't know where. I don't need to guess. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
They're not there, right? I don't love like the combination of, say, Buchogross and Kevin Weeks, who they replaced with AJ Molesko for this last game the other night, Toronto-Ottawa, and I like her a lot, and that buffered the whole thing. Weeks and Buchogross together, I like them individually together. It's just doesn't really work for me. But then you get TBS, TNT, and the announcers are just, they're not there. So tonight, if that holds, like they will have, you know, all this drama with Toronto. I mean, they're on the road in Ottawa. Their history, 1-13 now in their last 14 series clinching closeout games. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have announcers, you know, in a can talking to me from Virginia or something. Why? It's the NHL playoffs. It's not the World Championships from like Bulgaria or something.
No, it's not
Bulgaria. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's fair.
What are we doing?
What is the point?
How in the world does the league allow a partnership with, I mean, TNT, I've liked their broad, the studio crew isn't for everyone, whatever. I like Kenny Albert a lot. You've really turned me around. I never disliked him, but given what you have to pick from, he is far and away the best guy.
He's pretty much perfect.
Doing that job.
I think.
I like McDonough and Ray Ferraro together. Well, I love Ray Ferraro. And so that ESPN crew works. But not having crews there, allowing, and they're carrying the final, at least some of it. And I don't know, maybe it'll change if a Canadian team makes it, but what in the world do you think you're doing? I just cannot believe, Like, we get mad here, you know, a little in-house. If Paul doesn't go somewhere, like, we feel bad about that. Like, you know, whatever. It's financial. And that aggravates us. This is the network partner, television partner for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, it's a small-time operation, Turner.
Man.
They're just trying to get their foot in the door
yeah.
as a network.
TBS. Not a full apology. If it's changed and they're going to be there because of maybe there was an uproar, I don't know. More than likely, no one's even paying attention or cares because it's just hockey. I don't know. Like, we're so far down the rung here on the ladder that maybe it just doesn't register. But if they got pressure and it changed, then good. But as far as I know, they're not sending crews. And I just think that's an embarrassment for the league. Big time.
Leafs Senators is TBS tonight, so right. That's the one to watch. Edmonton is home. That's ESPN, though.
Okay.
So they'll have people there.
Yeah.
Is it how obvious is it? Like, you know this, so it bothers you. Will I notice it if I didn't know it?
I think there are you'd have to really compare, like, watching the two, but there's stuff I can tell you this. Because even going back to when Dan and Rob weren't traveling during COVID, delayed penalty. You're not in the building.
You don't know.
So you're at the mercy of whatever the camera is showing you. And if neither referee is on the screen when an infraction happens, you're guessing. You know, the goalie pulled. Same thing. The announcers in the building are not going to, they're going to see it. If you're not in the building, you're at the mercy of the camera angle. You're not going to be able to tell me that the goalie's pulled.
Right.
And I don't even know if your television production is going to be able to get a graphic up there that says, you know, empty net. And that stuff matters. I mean, it's the playoffs. It's so frustrating. So, yes. And from an audio standpoint, this Draisaitl winner was, I saw like a cut up of the TBS call, and I don't even know it wasn't Kenny Albert, it was somebody else on their team there that had the call from a studio wherever they are versus the Sportsnet call with the announcer in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the crowd is way more muted. You just do not have what you should be getting from a playoff hockey game. You just don't. And it's horrendous. Now, not that being in the building solves all that. The early games in this Toronto-Ottawa series with Buchogross and Weeks in the building, the levels were all screwed up. You couldn't hear the crowd. They sounded... Remember how the radio used to sound when, you know, late night, way back in the day, like the Sabres are on the road out west and you're listening under the covers? Somehow, in the year 2025 of our Lord... Mm. Buchogross and Weeks sounded like they were doing a game on, like,
from bed
equipment that we have even replaced because it's so outdated. Like, I know it wasn't old equipment, but it just sounded terrible. It just was very tinny and not. I don't know. It's been a tough playoffs.
I think a great play-by-play announcer uses the crowd in how he carries his voice mm-hmm. and how he speaks. You think of Rick Jeanneret. In those, you know, classic moments in the odd or the arena, he would sort of soar above the crowd and then fade out. Like there's a talent to that. And these guys, if they're not in the building, it's like irrelevant. I'm not sure if they're all like that good, but still, mm-hmm. I think to do that really on the Bob Cole level, you would, his calls were different, maybe not the best example, but you would want to use the crowd.
Yeah. I think you need... In order to overtime game-winning goal in game four of the Stanley Cup playoffs, I think you need the energy of the crowd to help you get there with the call. Like, I'm not being so hard on the guy doing the announcing. I'm guessing it's not his choice to not be there. But it just doesn't – he just doesn't get there because I think it's a big ass to get there. You're in this room, you know.
To generate your own energy.
2,000 miles away from – it's up to you.
Yeah.
And that's tough. Like, how hard do you go? You don't have to yell over the crowd, right? So you're just not going to get to the level you should be at. And it's just an embarrassment. And if it's been rectified, it doesn't erase the embarrassment of it going as far as it's gone already with them. It just is completely unacceptable. For the league. And I just, it still blows, I'll say it again, it blows my mind. Like, Gary Bettman didn't go to whoever is in charge. Like, no, Get on a plane. What are you doing? This is the playoffs. We cannot have you in the, it's not okay.
You must like how they have the start times staggered tonight.
They are doing a decent job of that.
Even yes. starting as earlier at six, as early as six sometimes.
Yes.
Not tonight. 7:30, 9:30, 10:00
Yep.
7 and 9:30 The Toronto game and the Dallas game are TBS games. The others are ESPN. Vegas, early, and then LA.
I should be able to stay up to watch everything tonight.
Edmonton's
because I'm flying in the morning, and there is no chance I'm not waking up at 3 a.m. Even we don't, and we're not flying early either. We're flying like 10:30, so we don't have to be at the airport crazy early. But I know what's going to happen. I'm going to wake up at like 3 and just be like, "Did I pack everything? I might as well just get up," and I'm going to be up. So at least if I go to bed later, maybe that won't happen until 5. You know, and I can live with that. At least it'll be light out in an hour or so. I can deal with that.
Edmonton is one win from taking out the Kings for the fourth straight year.
Yeah,
has that happened?
Same teams like that 4 years in a row? Boy, I don't think so. Even like the Sabres, when they didn't win for 10 years in a row.
They would alternate Montreal, Boston.
Yeah, Quebec might have even been in there.
Twice.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't think they, I don't recall them ever having the same
thing
four in a row.
It never happened to them.
So I don't know if it's unprecedented, but it really is. It really is something.
Has one team ever beaten another in a playoff series four straight years? That's probably something I can find out. 803-0550, that 2026 mock draft.
Mm.
Can't forget about it.
Sorry, I kind of hijacked that whole segment with hockey announcer stuff.
It's good. I'm getting a lot of... my phone is blowing up about it. Or maybe it's just blowing up. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, back after the update. Your calls are welcome on WGR. Ross Tucker is on Good Morning Football this week, and Bulldog said, like, and I'm not, I would say the same thing, we love Ross, but it's not getting us to Good Morning Football. Who would have to be on for you to turn on Good Morning Football?
Yeah, that's a tough score to beat, because I really, really admire and respect and like our relationship with Ross, and if he isn't enough to get me there, I don't know that a person exists.
Nobody?
That even someone well outside of the football world, I don't think anyone would really.
Who would it be?
Wilco songwriter Jeff Tweedy guest hosting on Good Morning Football. I don't think that.
I can't think of anyone.
I don't think it would get me there. Yeah, Ross is as good as it could get for me.
Ross is the test of all tests.
Yeah.
On this front.
And it's not enough. I'm happy for him. I hope it's going great.
I think it would be like if you were on, I'd watch it.
Okay. Well, thank you. And same. Probably. Yeah. Probably.
I'd want to see what that went.
If you were on.
Probably. 80-20. If Bulldog was on Good Morning Football, would you turn it on? I don't even know if the show is bad. I've never had the first impulse to find out. I have enough football.
I saw bits of it when it first came to prominence, and I thought it was different enough that it was, I thought, like, this could work, and maybe I might even like it. But again, it's just not, I'm not waking up and going, I gotta get the NFL Network on.
I can't watch anything where I think there's gonna be fake laughter.
No,
I can't. I mean, nothing. I can't deal with fake laughter. The pregame shows, the first problem I have with it, I think, would be just somebody says a thing, it's not even funny, and the other guy's, that's just the worst television in the world to me. There was a tweet today, maybe from Peter Schrager, about how the more international games there are being played, how they're sort of creeping in on pregame shows, and Sam Monson tweeted, finally, something good.
Right.
And I said, amen, Sam. I mean, that...
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to watch them, I guess. The mock draft I was mentioning, the draft just ended. What mock draft? Why even do a mock draft when you can just copy the real one? But no, this is for 2026.
All new players.
Brendan Donahue from Sharp Football Analysis puts the Bills on defensive back out of South Carolina, Jalen Kilgore. And I don't know anything about him.
They just drafted a defensive back in the first round last year. There's no way they're drafting another defensive back in the first round.
803-0550.
What would happen?
Would we? Why do they need a defensive back in the first round next year?
Why isn't it a receiver?
Again.
Sorry, just trying to be on brand.
Why do they need a DB if they have Benford and now Hairston? How badly did that go if I'm drafting Jalen Kilgore from South Carolina?
Are they already worried about Hairston? Is that it?
That must be it.
That could be it.
I think this is a good thing. I think we should use more of these next year's mock drafts. What is what's the backstory? Did somebody get hurt? What is the backstory? Can't have enough of them?
Well, I mean,
Taron Johnson leaves.
No, but the Ohio State guys.
That didn't work out. That's a day three pick.
Oh.
You can't expect that to work out.
That's terrible.
The thing that you will like about this, if you don't like that already, that idea, is it was pick 32.
It's a year too late on a South Carolina defensive back for me. That's all it is.
Yeah. Emin Worry,
yeah.
It was pick 32.
Oh. Hey now.
That's the thing I thought you would like about it.
Draft a kicker. I don't care. I'm going to be drunk for months.
I don't believe there were trades in this mock draft.
Yeah.
How great would that be?
Do whatever you want.
How great would it be if somebody did a mock draft for next year and at the top of the article they wrote, does not include trades, even though we don't have any, everybody's 0-0. Go ahead and make the order anything you want. Just make it anything you want. But I'm going to trade here. Dallas has the 15th pick. And Pittsburgh has the 11th pick. I see a move. I see a move in the works.
Oh, baby, that is that.
Hats off to you if you're doing that.
You're picking 32nd. I listen.
Next year's mock draft without standings yet, and you have trades in it.
I will not really adhere to this, but there's a part of me that just would want to be like, I don't do whatever you want for the rest of time. I don't care. Tre'Davious White in his 18th season, after they went, he's still here. 10 years after they went, roll him out there. I don't. It's fine. It's all good. I'm good. I'm of course exaggerating
a little bit,
quite a bit. But I was like this when the only team that I've ever cared somewhat passionately about won the first world championship of my lifetime when the Red Sox won in 04. Like 05 opening day, I wanted everyone back. Like, I don't care if Derek Lowe is finished.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sunday. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I'm a jersey. I want the whole gig. No, I don't need a new shortstop. Keep going. Give me Orlando Cabrera back out there and Pokey Reese and Doug Minkiewicz and just Bill Miller, Trot Nixon. Go on. I want to watch you guys play this year. I don't care if you go 0-162. I just want to see the batting order and think about last year every time I turn the TV on. That's all I want from you right now.
Imagine if, like, the Bills win the Super Bowl this year and, you know, it's still the NFL draft. We're still excited about it. Maybe even more excited about it because they've won. And, you know, they pick a cornerback or a linebacker or something. Can you say anything?
No.
Can you make the wide receiver point?
I'm telling
if they
you,
win it?
This seed first got planted with me when, so I just mentioned the Red Sox, when the Red Sox won in 04, I remember like a year later, Like the Boston station, WEEI, a big, longtime, famous station. They've been the flagship of the Red Sox for a long, long time. I believe they still are, but I'm not positive. I don't watch enough of their games to see the signs or anything, but I think so. But they start. There were other things happening, like competitors came into the market and different things. But they lost their sort of stranglehold on the community because the Red Sox won. Like the anxiety of them winning sort of, it just changed, you know, people's listening habits. It changed how they approached it. And what I've always said, like, be careful. Like, you don't know what your relationship is going to be like with the team after they win. And for us, I think the Bills win. I've said this a few different times. Like, obviously, I want them to win. I want this challenge to present itself to us, okay? Nobody's going to hear me complaining about how good the left guard is. You know, like, it's just, yeah, I think this doesn't go across the board because there are people that are way more angry and passionate. And, you know, we talked about grateful versus frustrated or whatever yesterday. And there are people all over that spectrum. So it doesn't go for everyone. But I think I am, by saying I'm so grateful, I am this sort of person. So it's weird that I'm, you know, in this spot. But I would be that person. If I'm riding around in my car, you know, on my way, taking my kids to softball practice or whatever I'm doing, and the Bills have won the Super Bowl, and 4 months later, the guy on the radio is yelling about the whatever, I'm just like, I gotta listen to some music. I don't want to listen to it right now. I'm happy. I am happy. And the anxiety factory that I have been living in was the fuel that kept me going to listen to the guys talk about it and the callers and all the whole thing. When I'm like, I mean, I know you got a job to do, but I'm going to go listen to some Journey.
I know. I think this is all right for me too. The fact that they haven't won it yet, despite all the winning they've done, leaves room for a certain level of scrutiny. And the debate, the macro debate about the one like we're having this week is whether it's fair. Like whether people say, what about the Sabres? What are you guys doing? Like, how are you criticizing the Bills? Well, I think you think there's enough room. There's not a championship yet.
Right.
So at times I'll say something and I think, well, am I trying too hard here? Like they've won so much. But overall, no. That small space between what they've done and winning it all is enough.
But once that banner goes up, it's a very different dynamic.
If they win a Super Bowl this year in any way, every draft pick pans out, Patrick Mahomes breaks his wrist. I mean, if any way they do it, we get to next year and, you know, maybe we still want a wide receiver because it's a really important position and the Bills have gone all this time without acting like they know that and you want to say all that. What can you? I don't know if you can. Scoreboard. Right. If you do it, you can.
I just think a lot more people than are upset now about it are going to be upset. And then there are enough people right now that are upset about
it. That might be right. I might be upset. But you're saying it.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. I know. It multiplies exponentially, I think, when it happens. So, great problem to have. Let's all collectively have the problem. Really. I mean that. We all need it. We want it. But I think it changes. That's what I've always said that about the Red Sox. And it's not just my personal experience because I'm not there in Boston. I'm not born and bred. So I'm not as tethered to it as I am to the Bills. But there's the piece that I always think about is the radio station in Boston and how hard a time they had after they won, because you're losing. There's something in the water when you haven't won it yet and you're torturing people and you just keep coming back because you want to express how frustrated you are on a regular basis. It's therapeutic. But once that is quenched, it's like, it's like the John Travolta Pulp Fiction meme where, you know, walks in the room like, I don't know.
What is actually happening in the scene?
I don't know. He's at the Uma Thurman's house, and she's maybe dying or shooting up in the bathroom or something, and he's looking around. You know the meme I'm talking about?
No. I've never seen the movie.
Okay. Well, either. It's just one of those things that just circulated. You probably have laid eyes on it 100 times and just don't even know what it is.
The point of it is, like, where is everybody?
Yeah, I thought something was supposed to happen here, and nothing's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get it. All right. Paul Hamilton coming up at 6. We'll talk about the Amerks, who have a chance to sweep their playoff series with Syracuse tonight. Road game coming up probably at 7. We'll talk to Paul here shortly, 6 o'clock. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with you. This is WGR. Paul Hamilton joins us at 6. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here. Derby day is Saturday. Odds on, according to Bet Online, a horse with one name winning, 1-5. 5-1 is your 100 wins 500. 1-5 is your 100 wins, what, 20? So apparently it's very likely that the winner of this race will be a horse that has only a one-word name.
Well, it's not going to be Rodriguez.
Right.
Because trainer Bob Baffert has scratched Rodriguez from Saturday's Kentucky Derby. I just noticed from our friend.
No, wait. Rodriguez is the name of a horse that was scratched. There's a jockey named Rodriguez, I believe. They've replaced with a different jockey.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
I think that's the case.
Okay.
What's the name of the horse?
I don't know. All I've got here is it's a quote tweet from our buddy Sam Paniatovich. From the Kentucky Derby itself, it says, trainer Bob Baffert has scratched Rodriguez from Saturday's Kentucky Derby with the defection of Rodriguez. Baeza has now drawn into the field. And I assume that those were horse names, not jockey names.
I guess I don't know.
The picture is of...
Maybe that's right. Maybe you're right.
The picture is of
a horse?
A jockey riding a horse. So
could be either, then.
Could be either. Sorry, I was ready to go with you on a one-named horse being... Although
I think you're probably right.
A one-named horse is now coming in. Yeah, I don't think Baffert... Well, I guess the trainer could scratch the jockey, I suppose. Change jockeys, but yeah. I think this is a horse.
I think you're probably right.
So make sure you talk to Sam about that tomorrow.
Other one-word horses, one-word name horses in the field include journalism and publisher.
That's interesting. Are they from like the same stables or something? Because those are curiously named.
Journalism and publisher.
Those sound like companion.
Sounds like an exacta waiting to happen right there.
Sound like companion horses to me.
1-5, one namer to win. I think I'll pass on that.
Me too. I'm going to miss the whole thing this year.
Render Judgment. How do you like that name?
I would bet. I would throw $5 on Render Judgment. Depends what the rest of the field looks like. And, of course, what the odds and the other horses are like. But I usually look for a name I like. And then if the odds are matching, then that's where I'll go.
In that 5-10-1 range?
Yeah.
Something like that. Although 5-1 could be a favorite.
Yeah.
Maybe a little higher than that.
Somewhere between 10 and 20.
10 and 20.
I think it's that. Yeah. Yeah.
That could be a big payout at the Kentucky Derby.
Sure. Well, because I don't just throw nickels around when I'm betting on horse racing.
No, of course I know that. Nickels. Of course I know that. NHL playoffs tonight, 4 games, beginning with Toronto at Ottawa at 7. AHL playoffs, Amerks and Syracuse. We'll talk to Paul about all of it when we return. Paul Hamilton next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.